The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And we are joined right now by Dallas Police Deputy Chief Israel Herrera. He's standing at we are at attention here. Chief Herrera is with us. First of all, I want to go back to something you were telling me off air. Yeah. You're from Galveston originally.
I am. Yes, I am, sir.
So you're familiar with Guido's.
I am. It is one of the finest seafood restaurants in the state of Texas.
And what were you saying? It helped put you through college?
It did, actually. It was a great place. Beautiful people down there. Great, family and just really good times.
So if you're from Galveston, does that mean you heard what I said about the Astros earlier?
I did.
So, does that hurt you?
I started out as an Astros fan, just as an Oilers fan as well, but I quickly grew to love the Rangers and our beloved Dallas
good.
Cowboys.
So
okay,
yeah. Well, I was worried.
I'm all in. Converter.
Worried I was about to get a boot put on my car.
No, you're good. Okay. You're all
right.
Good.
Tell us about this. Why come to the fair?
Why not come to the fair? You know, we first of all, I just want to thank the State Fair of Texas. The folks here have been so generous and kind, and we came to them with an idea of having what we call an on-site hiring event. So every other Thursday, we bring in new applicants who want to become Dallas police officers. And so we're always trying to explore new ways and places to go. And my team came to me and said, you know what, Chief, it'd be a great idea if we could do this at the State Fair. And I said, you know what, let's bring it to them. So we spoke to them, and it didn't take but a minute. And they said, absolutely, let's do it. Bring it on down. So we partnered with them. Today we had an on-site hiring event. We had nearly 20 folks show up. We thought it was going to be kind of tight because we just had a hiring event last week. And usually every other week is kind of our sweet spot. But we had 40 come through last week. So in the last 2 weeks, we had 60 people apply to be Dallas police officers. And so that's huge.
And you can even complete the first, says here, the first phase of testing, you can complete that on site today. What does that entail?
So, we get the personal history statements done with them. We also put them through some physical training just to make sure they can cut it.
Yeah. I'm out.
don't need too many corny dogs and try the run. But this was a pretty iconic run for us today because we mapped it out. So we ran around Big Tex and the applicants, as hopefully will be recruits, ended at Big Tex. And from there, the State Fair was generous enough to give them a couple of tickets to come back and enjoy with their family. And we gave them a commemorative shirt, and they are still going through the process. Hopefully in the next hour, we'll get them on and get them ready for the next couple of days where we can get them in and through the process.
What kind of men and women are you looking for that would make good Dallas police officers?
You know, that's a great question because we canvass this country. You know, last week I had folks over in Georgia. I had folks over in Arizona. And we want folks that make up and look like our community. And so we're going to, all parts of the United States where we can find folks. And we're also working very hard to find our homegrown folks who want to stay here and make Dallas their home. Or folks coming outside to make Dallas their home. But it's really neat because I get to read a lot of these applications and folks that are coming from out of state. And the number one thing they say is they just fall in love with our city. And they just want to be a part of the Dallas Police Department. Right.
Yeah.
They're like, the Dallas Police Department has a really deep history of doing things right. And we want to be a part of that. And so that's music to my ears. And having the State Fair host us today was just one more way we can reach out to folks.
What do you say to these recruits, their applicants, as you said, to keep them from running off to the suburbs?
You know, I will tell you this, that this is, we are in a really good time. Dallas Police Department has amazing support, not just from its community, but we have a mayor, a city manager, a city council that's 100% behind us. They're giving us the tools that we need to be competitive. And we're going out there and we're telling folks, hey, here's who we are. You can be a part of a great organization. We're going to pay you well. You know, they're making close to $70,000. And in January, they get a 7.23% raise after that. So you put that in any major market right now, and we're being very competitive. I don't want to talk about too many of our competitors down south, the other bigger cities in our state, but we're kicking their butt right now, and I want to make sure we keep doing that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, as far as recruiting, how is that going? I know we've seen a little bit on the upward trend. Are you seeing that in the next couple of years? You think you will be able to meet So that is higher numbers.
Yeah, that is our challenge each and every year. You know, we my team came in at February of this year. We were sitting at about at 87, 88 recruits. We had three classes to finish out the fiscal year. In the three classes, we were able to put in 50 in one class, 45, and 63 in another. So we have exceeded the goal. Our goal was to have 250. We hired 252 recruits, applicants, and they became recruits. And, you know, my goal is to exceed that once again for next year.
One last question real quick. Have you guys come to terms with life without Chief Garcia?
Yeah, you know, he brought a lot of great things to our organization, but I can tell you right now, you know, our organization is strong. We have a deep bench, a lot of great leaders that are part of this organization. He's kind of given us a recipe on what we can do to continue to be successful. So that's our marching orders, and we're going to keep doing it.
Good awesome. Enough. Chief, thank you so much. That is Deputy Police Chief Israel Herrera, Dallas Police Department. They're out here. Where are you guys set up at the fair?
So we're actually just to the east of the Chevy main stage. We're out there with our Dallas, right across from you guys.
Right there with DFR, right?
Absolutely, okay. Right across from DFR, with DFR. And so we'd like for you folks to come on by. Of course, next weekend, we're looking forward to all the major festivities. So we're going to have a bunch of fun things going on and, you know, just be a part of things here.
Perfect.
And that setup, that is right across from where we are, right across from Fernie's. So you can get a funnel cake and then go apply.
Or maybe do that run around Big Ten.
Maybe apply first and then get the funnel cake.
There you go. Exactly. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you guys having us on today.
Appreciate it, Chief. Thanks so much. We're going to start with the dock workers strike. That is continuing. What are we into now? Like the third day? They've been on strike this week, leading to some panic buying, images of empty store shelves, like we saw at the beginning of the pandemic. Remember the toilet paper? Well, here we go again. Yeah. Experts are saying the strike would have to last a long time, though, for consumers to be impacted by it. We are joined now by Cullum Clark at the Bush Institute at SMU, the director of the Economic Growth Initiative there, with us right now on KRLT. Not a problem. We're glad to have you here. You can give us some insight here. So I'm going to guess that these people who are out there hoarding toilet paper right now are, we'll just call them misguided. Is that correct?
I think that's very likely. I think there's most economists who are following this believe that vast majority of importers would have a reasonable amount of goods and inventory. So I think, as you all noted, the strike would really have to go on for a pretty extended period to run down inventories and start creating, you know, the kind of empty shelves that we had for a very brief time at the beginning of the pandemic lockdown. So most likely the impact on the economy is pretty small.
You know, a lot of big retailers seem to know that this was coming. They knew that this strike was in looming, so they did. They made a lot of preparations. Am I correct?
That's what it looks like. I mean, you know, we could always have the odd surprise, and of course, the Longshoremen's Union has timed this. It sounds crazy to say, given that it's almost 90 degrees out in Dallas, but they've timed this around Christmas, right? Around creating shortages of goods as we roll into the Christmas season. So I do think it would have to go on for a while, which is possible. Like, for example, one issue that's been raised is whether the federal Department of Labor would, in a sense, intervene to try to broker a deal. And so far, I think the Biden White House has indicated that they're not interested in doing that. President Biden has always said he wants to run the most pro-union administration in American history. So maybe it will go on for a while. It's too early to say.
I guess the pressure would get amped up on everyone, though, if we do start seeing problems at the retail level for consumers, right?
Sure, of course it would. Absolutely. I do want to note there are some really interesting longer term issues at stake here. I hope we can talk about that for just a moment.
Sure, sure.
Go ahead. I mean, obviously, whether consumers are impacted in the near term is kind of a function of, you know, the devil's in the details. What happens day by day? Does it get extended? Do we find that maybe there are some importers, some retailers who didn't have as much inventory as they thought? They get kind of caught out. Clearly, there could be some problems. But there is a really interesting additional issue here, which is that the Longshoremen's Union you wouldn't be surprised that they would ask for that they would demand much higher wages. We've been through a period when, for a great many working people around the United States, wages have not gone up as much as goods and services prices, as much as inflation. So people's paychecks don't go as far. So we have seen a real increase in strike kind of activity, and in general, it is leading to pretty significant increases in pay. So that's maybe kind of what you would expect, and so they're not so much surprised. But here's what's interesting. The union doesn't just want a 77% bump in pay. They want guarantees against further automation of container handling operations at major U.S. ports. Like, don't automate. Don't have as many, think like giant robotic arms that are lifting containers off of ships and moving them over onto, say, trains. And that's pretty interesting. You know, there are those who would say that the idea of workers demanding that employers don't automate, don't use the latest technology is kind of out of the, if you recall, the Luddites from early 19th century England who were kind of going in and breaking the machines of the early Industrial Revolution. So we haven't seen a lot of that in America before in recent years. Labor unions actually demanding that employers not implement the latest technology. Even so, it's kind of an interesting fact that I was just reading this, that the major U.S. ports, ocean-facing ports, are on the whole significantly less automated. They have less of this sort of giant robotic type equipment than a number of their competitors elsewhere, particularly in East Asia, China and other Asian countries. So we really are kind of falling behind there, and it would be really a perverse result if out of this we had not just a pay increase, which is easy to understand, but actually a kind of an agreement by employers for American ports to fall further behind technologically, to become less competitive in international trade. It's hard to see how that would be a positive result long term.
That's a really good point. It's not just about higher pay. It's about protecting jobs as well. We'll see, though, as the strike goes on. This weekend will mark 1 week that it has gone on. The toilet paper, though, is still amazing. The hoarding, the panic buying.
You know, it is. As you say, it's human behavior, right? It's the toilet paper buying, even at the worst of the shortages, was actually irrational, right? In the sense that the actual amount of toilet paper, you know, flowing from the plants out into the economy it didn't really go down all that much. It was just an irrational response. So
I guess it just goes to show what people's priorities are, doesn't it?
I can't argue with you there.
Dr. Clark, thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes to speak with us. That is Dr. Cullum Clark, the director of the Bush Institute and SMU Economic Growth Initiative, with us here on KRLD, talking about the dock workers' strike.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton suing TikTok.
In a complaint filed in Galveston, Paxton says TikTok is illegally sharing the personal information of minors, and it's doing it without the parents knowing it. The AG says TikTok allows children aged 13 to 17 to sign up and use TikTok under a family pairing tool. That requires the parents to also get an account so they can monitor time their kids spend on TikTok. But the suit says the parents do not have the ability to control who TikTok is selling that child's information to, and it may be another vendor. That, the suit says, violates a law. From the 24-Hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Speaking of TikTok, this guy's got 4 million followers there, and now he's behind bars on a murder rap.
He is 20-year-old Terrion Thomas, but he's better known as Mr. Prada, and now he's been charged with second-degree murder and obstruction of justice. Thomas was arrested in Dallas earlier this week after a warrant was issued out of Baton Rouge. Police there accused Thomas of driving the stolen vehicle of 69-year-old therapist William Abraham, also of Baton Rouge, who was found dead on the side of a highway in Louisiana. Investigators say when they searched Thomas's home, they found evidence indicating a violent altercation had occurred inside. They also found surveillance video that showed Thomas pulling a large tarp and loading it into Abraham's car. Thomas is still awaiting extradition back to Louisiana. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
We told you about the Grand Prairie School District putting its superintendent on leave last month. Now the school board may have to fire him. They voted 4-2 last night, saying Jorge Arredondo violated the discrimination, equity, and inclusion policy.
You're the same board members that are here making decision that's causing so much chaos in our community.
That this is a back door to remove a superintendent that some of you didn't want, that erodes our faith in you as elected officials.
Board members say the community will eventually get the report. They might fire Arredondo or he might resign. He just joined the Grand Prairie ISD in July.
Well, we're learning more about the loss of a deputy in Wise County.
I've been through it a few times in my career, but I think this is one of the toughest.
Wise County Sheriff Lane Aiken held back tears when thinking about his deputy, Lex Love.
We lost a lot last night. The Wise County Sheriff's Office did, but it left a hole in all of law enforcement in Wise County.
Love was on an emergency call on a county road in New Fairview last night, responding to another crash when he had one of his own running into a concrete barricade. Love died at the hospital. He was only 26. From the 24-hour news center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLT.
Now, on top of that, a jury was unable to reach a verdict today in the aggravated assault trial of a former Uber driver from Grand Prairie. 63-year-old Boniface Maduboko struck and critically injured a Dallas police officer 6 years ago when he drove into an accident scene. The jury told the judge it was a deadlock after 8 hours of deliberations. The judge declared a mistrial.
506 says a guy in serious condition after he took a 10-foot fall inside a grain silo in Fort Worth.
The 911 call came in just before midnight. A man was badly injured about halfway up inside one of those silos that run along South Main, just 2 or 3 blocks south of JPS. Firefighters immediately rigged up a rope system and lowered the man on a basket out of a fifth-floor window. He was seriously hurt with broken bones and perhaps other injuries. One thing police are going to want to know, what in the world was he doing inside that abandoned silo at that time of night? From the 24-hour news center, Kurt Lewis, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, a group of Texans on mission has sent more volunteers to help people affected by Hurricane Helene. Now, this group is in Tennessee. They're using massive mobile kitchens to cook up 4,000 meals a day for victims in the Johnson City, Tennessee area. Farrell Foster says homes have been swept off foundations and lush green fields have been turned into mud pits.
Where there used to be fields and such, green fields, it's now just silt from a river. You know, it's just dirt. Washed basically clean. In the middle of one field, they just set a basketball. Who knows where it came from?
Many of the Tennessee volunteers are helping victims scoop mud out of their homes.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.